This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hope you enjoyed our first game tonight. And now for the second game of our Friday night doubleheader, it will be Litchfield at Hillsboro. My name's Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk, honoring the military tonight in camouflage jerseys and, once again, difficult numbers.
Yes, but really quite a – looks like they're going to do it right. I think they're going to announce quite a few of our veterans, and it's going to be quite a night for the military here at Hillsboro High.
Well, the Toppers take the kickoff at about the 25, and Blaine Sturt runs it out over the 40-yard line. So the Toppers will start off here first and 10 with outstanding field position on their own 41. Quite a nice run back there by Stewart.
Yeah, he got a really good block right at the point that he caught the ball. Then made a couple nice moves of his own. So, yeah, good field position for the Toppers for sure.
Zane Duff will be our quarterback. Behind him will be fullback Blaze Helton. Over on the left halfback position will be Joe Kaiser. At the right halfback position will be Blaine Sturt. Duff looks to the sideline to get the play. Got a double wing formation. They'll hand the ball off to Helton, and Helton is off to the races. He's got one guy who's got him by the belt buckle and finally pulls him down all the way down to the Litchfield 34-yard line. Well, one or two things are going to happen there, Dan. Either it was going to be a first and 10 or it was going to be a guy with his pants pulled down.
Well, and the defense for the Panthers are, I think the farthest guy back is about 4 yards off the line of scrimmage. So if once Helton cleared that linebacker crew, he was running free in the backfield.
They will mark it at the Litchfield 33. They'll give it to Helton. This time he's going to be hit in the backfield and driven down as he's driven back. And finally they're going to blow the whistle at about the 40-yard line. Big number 58, Corbin Schneck, in there on the tackle. Let's see, where are they going to move that? They're going to actually...
Looks like they're giving him the line of scrimmage.
I don't know that. I thought he was trying to back up to recharge and get a different angle, but I'd say the Toppers got a break right there. It'll be a second and 10 then from the 33. Helton's got the ball again. Helton's going through the middle again. Helton's got some good yardage again as he's down close to a first down. Finally coming up with a tackle there was Keaton Case.
Yeah, I think we're going to probably see a lot of Blaze Helton tonight. One of those which Blaze has run the ball a lot for the Toppers all year long, but I think Coach Reed's going to give him the ball until the Panthers prove they can stop him.
They're going to mark it at about the 23-24-yard line. Yes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. Helton once again. Helton is hitting the backfield, but he drags the would-be tackler with him across the 20 down to about the 18. So what looked like was going to be a loss of a couple yards ends up being a gain of about five. They'll mark it at the 19. So the Toppers, it's taken them just 2 minutes to get into the red zone here on their first drive. Now the Panthers, they're flip-flopping their defense from side to side. This time it's going to go Blaine Sturt on the carry, and Blaine Sturt is going to take it into the end zone as he went around the left side. I think the Panthers may have been caught there as they were flip-flopping the defense. Sturt found an opening, and Sturt took it to the promised land.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of Blaze Helton's greatest assets is as a decoy. He draws so much attention that when Duffy fakes to him and gives to somebody else, boy, they oftentimes really benefit from that ball fake.
So that's a five-play drive that covers 59 yards for the Toppers. And they'll go for two. Setting in an I formation, they'll pass it back to the tailback. That was Magnus Wells, number 70, in the backfield for the two-point conversion. You don't see that too often.
No, you don't, but word was that he'd got a couple of carries in the two-point conversions a week ago, and he's a big load coming through there. You only need 3 yards.
Plus, he had a couple lead blockers. That's like the old
big Magnus.
Yeah, from the from the old wing formation, having two lead blockers ahead of you are like out of the wishbone, I guess you could say as well. In any event, it's 8-0 just that quickly. At the 9:57 mark, the Toppers are on the board. Blaine Sturt doing the honors from 19 yards out. His touchdown run plus Magnus Wells' two-point conversion makes it 8-0. We'll be back with the Copper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Keenan Powell back deep to receive the kickoff for the Purple Panthers as the defense gets set. They kind of bunch up together between the hash marks. Now the left-footed kick comes down, is caught on the fly, and that was Martavius Jones, who runs it out to about the 30-yard line. So Litchfield trailing 8-0. They'll have the ball on their own 30. Tate Dobrynek, quarterback for the Purple Panthers. He'll have Drew Hartzell at fullback behind him. Wide receivers will be Keenan Powell and Martavius Jones. Tight end is Carson Satoff. And the other running back there, A.J. Seifert. So the Panthers in shotgun formation. Got a back on either side of him. Sends man in motion, and now it's going to be a penalty flag, a procedure call against LHS.
And a man coming in motion across, and I believe that was Martavius Jones. He turned upfield just a little bit early, creating that illegal procedure penalty.
Backs it up to the 25. It'll be a first and 10. Once again, two backs, Seifert as well as Hartzell in the backfield beside Dobrynek. Man goes in motion. This time the snap goes directly to the quarterback, and he'll try the left side, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. Is that Satoff on the carry?
Yes, I believe Satoff, and that's a kind of a new wrinkle for the Panthers' offense with Carson Satoff back in the backfield, usually in his tight end position.
Dobrynek back there now with two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right. Second and 15. Play action fake. Then the pump fake. Down the field he goes, and it's going to be intercepted right about at midfield for the Toppers. Was that Braden Fowler?
It's Braden Fowler for the Toppers.
So Fowler with the interception. As that pass was underthrown, it looked like Dobrynek was hit just as he was trying to release that pass, and it was intercepted by Fowler. So Hillsboro leading 8-0, they get another good break as they'll have the ball deep in the Purple Panther territory. They'll mark it at the Litchfield 21, a very short field with which to work for the Toppers. Barely 3 minutes into the game, still 9:05, showing on the first quarter clock. Helton scoots over, lining up between the guard and tackle. It's going to be rollout action, a little flip toss out here. And the slipping as he was trying to turn the corner was Blaine Sturt. They'll mark it right at the 21, so we'll call it no gain on the play. Make it second and 10. Well, we had rain last week, but I thought this week maybe the turf would be a little bit more dry, but he slipped on that one for sure.
Well, you get that dew, though. You still get that fall dew on the grass. It makes
it slick.
Now
they'll go to the second man, and this time the second man is going to go all the way for the touchdown. Joe Kaiser with the touchdown this time as they fake to the fullback. And as you said, Blaze Helton draws so much attention that the defense kind of sucked in on him. That allowed Kaiser the opportunity to go around right in and all the way in for a 21-yard touchdown run.
We'll see what kind of adjustment that the Litchfield Panthers make. They're really crowding the line of scrimmage. And once the Hilltopper running backs get past that, they've had all kinds of running room.
And Ian Malloy comes up with the touchdown. We got a very proud popper right over here. as the big guys on campus have come up with two extra points, making it 16-0 in favor of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Blaine Sturt with a 19-yard touchdown run. Now Joe Kaiser with a 21-yard touchdown run. We'll be back with a Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. And now the Toppers will kick it off. Again, the left foot is a squib kick, and the Purple Panthers are going to be on top of it, and they're going to have the ball at the 48. I do believe Litchfield is looking to make sure they've got the ball. Hillsboro's trying to say they've got it, but no. Last man off the pile is number 74, and that's Hunter Hancock for the Purple Panthers. No, they're going to say that Reynolds recovered the kickoff. I would have swore that the Purple Panthers had that one covered, but nonetheless, the kickoff is recovered by Hillsboro, and they'll have possession once again. And once again, it will be in Litchfield territory at the Litchfield 47. Two possessions, two scores, and another short field with which to work. Stewart goes in motion. Back they go. They'll toss the pass. Oh, it was in and out of the hands of the intended receiver. That was for Caden Liebscher. Incomplete pass going to bring up a second 10. I thought there was a Purple Panther who was over there, but he got his hands up. He could have had a pick six.
Just about, yeah. I couldn't see the number, but he was right there, I think, concentrating on making the tackle after the ball was caught. A heads-up play would have turned that ball right around.
I don't know why, but I had it in my mind that it was Hunter Hancock over there. I take that back. If Hancock had made the interception, he would have had to rumble quite a ways there to get that touchdown. 6'2", 195-pound sophomore. Now they're going to go back to Helton. He used a stiff arm to elude one tackler. Now he's taking two more down the field and finally out of bounds. Oh, a little bump there after the play. A little extracurricular there as if there was Jake Cunningham on the tackle along with some help from, who was that over there? That was A.J. Seifert. Bringing him down, but not until he gets all the way down to the Litchfield 29-yard line. So gain of 18 makes it first and 10 for the Toppers. He was run out of bounds, so the clock has stopped with 8:16 to go. Stewart lead back over here on this side. Helton gets the call. Helton's got the ball. Helton's going down the sideline. He's tiptoeing the sideline. I'm not sure. Is he all the way in? Yes, they're going to say that Blaze Helton was in from the 29-yard line as he simply tiptoed down the sideline and picked up the third touchdown of the night for the Toppers. So at the 8:05 mark, Hillsboro puts a third score up there, a third different person to score. This time it was Blaze Helton with the score. Let's see who they come out with for the point after this time. First time it was Magnus Wells. Second time it was Ian Malloy. This time, who shall it be? The switch going to be a toss.
Can't sweep. Do that, boys.
If we were north of the border, that would be an outstanding play.
They had three running backs in the backfield. Two of them went into motion. And here in high school football, with the quarterback under center, you're only allowed one.
No can do. So they'll back it up.
Boy, that'd be a great play, though, Coach.
They declined the penalty because the point after was no good. So that makes our score Hillsboro 22, Litchfield nothing. We'll be back with a Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. 22-0 is the Hillsboro lead. They had a little squib kick last time. It was recovered by the Toppers. We'll see what they do now. Purple Panthers have five on the line and then some more. Now they'll do a squib kick, and this time it's going to be caught and covered up there. And that time it was A.J. Seifert who caught it in the air, And the Purple Panthers trailing 22 to nothing. They're going to have good field position. They're going to take over right at midfield. Perhaps that's the first good thing that's happened for the Purple Panthers tonight, Dan.
Yes, well, there was. A.J. did a nice job coming up and corralling that ball in with.
Who was the big lineman then that smothered him?
Dan, I think that was the older Sadoff. Tanner Sadoff, I think they came in and covered up for him.
Mm-hmm. AJ's telling him, I don't need that help. I just let me lay on the ground by myself. Now it's going to be a quick pass out here. Oh, and just as it is caught, he is drilled as it's going to be an incomplete pass. The intended receiver there was Martavius Jones. Cameron Hackey coming up so quickly, broke it up before it ever developed.
Boy, and I tell you what, it took my breath away for a second because I thought Hackey jumped it, and he was heading the other way with that ball. I think if he'd have made a play on the ball, we'd be looking at 28 to nothing right now.
He was too fired up to hit somebody.
I guess.
He wanted to hit somebody, he did. Separated the ball for an incomplete pass. Second and 10 from the 50. Handoff is going to be to A.J. Seifert. Seifert's going to get back to the line of scrimmage and not much more. They're going to leave it right at the 50, and we'll call it a third and 10. Whether or not they score, the Purple Panthers really need to get a first down here just to be able to keep the ball out of the topper's hands for a little while.
Yeah, just get a little bit of momentum going, get a first down, move the chains. If nothing else, punt, give them a long field.
Two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right, and the toppers are coming. The little screen pass out here to the left had a couple blockers ahead of him, but it was incomplete, intended for Drew Hartzell, so that will bring up a fourth and 10. Okay, do you punt here, or do you figure, hey, it doesn't matter how long the field is? It looks like the Panthers may be going to go for it. Fourth and 10 from the 50-yard line.
We're probably going to look at a timeout here would be my guess. We're going to let some time run.
Yep.
You Coach Carlson's right. Going to take a minute to talk about this one.
With 7:14 to go in the first quarter, 22 to nothing is the Hillsboro lead. Timeout on the field. Dan Newkirk, not often can you say that a team – the Hillsboro Hilltoppers come into tonight's game with a 3-5 record, and yet they have hopes of making the playoffs.
They need some things to, some dominoes to fall in their direction, but you know their playoff hopes are not dead at this point. So they get through the night, see who what the scores wind up. We'll know a little bit more tomorrow.
Well, if 4-5 teams have a chance, and all 5-4 teams should be in. Oh, receiver was open downfield there. That was number 24, Martavius Jones. Couldn't make connections there at the 30-yard line, and so the toppers will get the ball back once again with good field position at the 50-yard line. Now, as we were saying with the playoff picture, it would appear anyone who finishes 5-4 this year will make it in the playoffs.
I think you're in. I don't think playoff points are going to come into effect until they get to the 4-5 teams in 3A. So
doesn't seem possible.
No, it doesn't. But it's just one of those years where the 2A's, 2A, well, I think a lot of that is, though, Gary, how stacked 2A is.
Yes.
In our area. It's mm-hmm. just absolutely loaded. And so I think that chased a lot of the points that way.
All right, the toppers on first down, they'll give the ball off to Stewart, and he'll take the ball down to the 40-yard line for a gain of 10, another first and 10. I like that wing back reverse, or we used to call it the inside counter, except this time, instead of going inside, he countered and went around in, found some daylight, good enough for 10 yards, and another first down.
And again, that's one of those bread-and-butter plays that you can run when you've got that punishing fullback presence like Hillsboro does with Blaze Helton, really makes Joe Kaiser and Blaine Stewart's job much easier.
Now they're going to go to the air, looking deep, got a receiver open, over the shoulder, makes the catch. down into the end zone as he's tackled. And that pass goes to Connor that time?
Bryce Connor.
So Bryce Connor with a 40-yard touchdown catch for the fourth touchdown of the night for the Toppers. So they've had three touchdowns running. Now they go to the air, and Bryce Connor makes the reception. Caught it over his shoulder and headed to the end zone. Was tackled just as he crossed the goal line, but measured it out just right. Now they'll go to the air. The pass is incomplete, and so the point after attempt is no good. 28-0 is the Topper lead. We'll be back with the Hillsboro kickoff after these messages on WSMI. I think most people coming to tonight's game realize that the Hilltoppers of Hillsboro had the advantage, should have the upper hand in the game, but I don't think anybody envisioned that in the first half of the first quarter they would amass a 28-0 lead.
Well, you know, and we got to see them a couple times last year, Gary, and I think I have very high hopes for the Hilltopper team this year, and they started with just a brutal, rough first half of their season, catching Vandalia, Greenville, Pena, Carlinville, Greenville, Pena, Carlinville, Vandalia in that order to start their season 0-4, and may have been one of the better 0-4 teams in the entire state of Illinois. And now that they've caught up some different teams, that Paris game is going to really come back and haunt them, the 3-0 loss, but they're a much better team than their 0-4 start.
Their schedule kind of flip-flops Southwestern's. Southwestern had their four easier games the first part of the season. Now they have lost four in a row, and they need the win tonight at Gillespie to assure themselves of getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's just a much better team than, and again, 28-14 at Greenville, the Pena game that we had here, that was just a very, very good Pena team. And then also Carlinville, a very explosive offense.
But
close game with Vandalia.
As you said in week one, they were with Greenville in the first half, and then Greenville made some adjustments at halftime and really came out in the second half and dominated. Pass going down the sideline over the head of intended receiver Martavius Johnson.
Yeah, and he had a step on Fowler. Had a step on Fowler, and I was just a little bit overthrown.
So that'll bring up a second and 10 for the Purple Panthers from their own 38. Seifert back there in the backfield along with Drew Hartzell. Now Powell goes wide out over to the right side. Got two wide outs over here to the near side. They're going to go to Powell deep. He's going to go back shoulder, comes back, and it's incomplete. There was a fight for that ball going up for our offensive player and defensive player. Neither could come up with it. Third and 10. So the Purple Panthers this time have decided they're going to try to go to the air and see if they can come up with the first down. First two plays have been incomplete. So it'll be a third and 10 from the 38. Carson Satoff is going to be the widest receiver over to the far side. Martavius Jones out there with him as well. Single wide receiver here as Hartzell's in the slot formation. Pass is thrown a little too low, and Keenan Powell could not make connections, and that's going to bring up a fourth and 10 for the Purple Panthers. Had the right idea, just a little bit low and outside on that throw.
Yeah, we got a sophomore quarterback throwing to sophomore receivers, and just still not quite making that connection. But I know that Coach Carlson over in Litchfield is hoping that over the next couple of years they can kind of find each other.
Well, we were mentioning earlier about the number of sophomores who are getting some playing time here in this season, of course, gaining some experience. The punt is...
Looks like Litchfield just recovered.
Going to be a flag thrown in late, but Litchfield does come up with the recovery.
By number 15, Nate Verdick.
And I believe... Who came up with the recovery there? Is that number 12, Keenan Powell?
I think so. I think Powell got up last off the pile. So good hustle by, again, one of those sophomores hustling down the field, trying to make a play. We'll see if the Panthers can capitalize here.
Down to the Hillsboro 30.
Who was that back receiving the punt for the Hill? Was that, was it Braden Fowler, just the free safety drop back? I didn't see anybody move, so I think that's probably who it was.
First and 10, Litchfield. As now they're going to fake the pass, and good play action there. Quick handoff to A.J. Seifert. Seifert, the 5'8", 160-pound sophomore, goes off that right side, gets the ball all the way down to the 22, so a gain of 8, going to bring up a second and 2. Put that playbook in your memory bank, Coach. We may want to go back to that one.
Yeah, pretty shifty. I wasn't even sure that Seifert had the ball until he was getting tackled. So
yeah, Dobrynik was some good play fake there. It looked like he was pulling it out and going to pass it. They're going to try the same thing again, and this time he's going to get close to the first down, and he's met by a wall of toppers. But I believe they're going to mark him, yes, down to the 20-yard line. That should be good enough for a Purple Panther first down.
Number 2, AJ Seifert, the ball carrier. Brought down by number 60, Ian Roy, and number 68, Matt Scott.
So we'll call it first and 10 from the 19 as Hartzell's going to come out here all the way to the sideline over here on the left side. He's got the tight end there ahead of, inside of him. Now a man in motion. That is Martavius Jones, who comes back and sits beside the quarterback. Jones now takes the handoff. Jones goes off tackle, and he's up to about the 15-yard line. So a gain of a good 4 there for Jones, making it 2nd and 6. Second down, 6 yards to go on the 15-yard line.
Well, we're definitely seeing a little bit different attitude out of the Purple Panthers.
We've got 3 wide receivers here. All the backs are out of the backfield, set up over here on the short side of the field. Now they'll send a man back in motion. That's Jones. He'll come back and then set by the quarterback. Now they'll fake it to him, and the quarterback, Dobrynik's going to take it. He's going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about all. Would bring up a 3rd and 6. Malloy in on the tackle. And they said Blaze Helton in on that tackle as well. Ball resting on the 15-yard line. It'll be a 3rd and 6 for the Purple Panthers. One back on each side of the quarterback in shotgun formation. Dobrynik has his choice. Do you hand it left? Do you hand it right? Picks up 2 blockers and decides he'll keep it himself. He'll get a first down as he's down to the 10-yard line. I said he'd get a first down as he reared up and was airborne as the tackler got him off his feet and back. Will it be enough for a first down?
Looks like the spot's going to get him about a yard or less short.
So from the 10, it'll be a 4th and 1 for the Purple Panthers. They'll go with a hard count, or will they go up the middle? We shall see. There's a loose ball on the field. I don't think some of the officials saw where the ball was.
I didn't hear a whistle. I think it was an intended handoff for Drew Hartzell real quick that got...
They're going to call it an incomplete
forward
pass. So in that event, the Hilltoppers will take over. That's one of all those little shuffle passes. But anyway, from the 10-yard line, the Toppers defense held on that play. And He got down into the red zone but could not get any closer. So whether it was a fumble forward or an incomplete pass, they will be debating that for some time. I did not see a pass in there. I thought maybe it was a shuffle pass, but I thought it was a handoff. What did your eyes tell you?
Well, I thought it went off his hip pad. I thought it went off his hip pad, it looked like, and ball progressed forward. You cannot intentionally fumble the ball forward, but you got to have possession of the ball before you can intentionally fumble it. He never had control of the ball.
Helton is going to get the carry, and he's going to be brought down out there by Martavius Jones. A gain of about 5 on the play. We'll call it 2nd and 5 with the ball resting. They're going to put it on the 15, so we'll call it 2nd and 6. Clock running down to the final 2 minutes of the first quarter. 28-0 is the topper lead. Helton in the backfield. Kaiser over there at left half. Blaine Stewart here at right half. At double wing formation. They'll give it off to Helton, and Helton's going to go right up the middle again. He's finally going to be brought down by Drew Hartzell, but not until he gets out to the 25-yard line for a gain of 10 and a first down for the Toppers. Tell you what, he's just one powerful runner. It's difficult for one defender to bring him down.
Just keeps his feet moving the whole time, keeps his feet driving.
Well, they'll move the chains and then start the clock up. We're down to the final 90 seconds of the first quarter. 28-0 is the topper lead. Helton setting in that fullback position. He'll get the toss. He'll try to sweep the right side. He's going to be hit. Finally drugged down, Carson Satov, one of the first to come up there on the tackle. He got some help from Martavius Jones. Seems like Martavius gets involved in just about every tackle.
He's around there for a freshman.
He finds the ball.
Yeah, he does. He's got a nose for the ball, and he looks like he doesn't shy away from it, that's for sure.
So the sophomore's in on the tackle at the 25. That'll bring up a 2nd and 10 into the final 45 seconds of the first quarter we go. Once again, wings on each side. They're going to give the ball off. No, it's going to be a fake, and then a pass wide open down there is Jabin Compton. Compton is off to the races, and he will have a 75-yard touchdown pass. Jabin Compton, he's the recipient this time. That's the 2nd touchdown pass for Zane Duff. This time he finds Jabin Compton for a 75-yard touchdown pass. Litchfield secondary got caught looking in the backfield that time, Dan.
They did. They got sucked up, and Jake Cunningham did a great job of giving pursuit. But Compton had about a 12-yard head start when he caught the ball. It was going to be very difficult for somebody to catch him.
So it would appear that the Toppers are going to do something different this time. Looks like they're going to try to kick an extra point. Jabin Compton just scored the touchdown. He'll try the point after attempt, and it's good. So Compton's point after attempt makes it 35-0 in favor of the Toppers. We'll be back with the Hillsboro kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Gary Boker, Dan Newkirk alongside. David Jenkins, our producer, back of the studio. Game 2 of our Friday night doubleheader. And thus far, this has been a Hillsboro Hilltopper display of effectiveness with the ball as they have had 5 possessions and 5 touchdowns and have a 35-0 lead. Now it's going to be a short kick. It's touched and then finally downed by the Purple Panthers. Drew Hartzell got a hand on it, stopped it, and then covered it up. At about the 28-29-yard line. Well, the Purple Panthers, with their last possession, they had a good drive going, starting from their own 38 and getting all the way down to the Hillsboro 10-yard line. But then they could not convert on fourth down. Let's see what they can do here. Starting from their own 29 with 21 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Dobrynek gets the snap. He'll hand the ball off to Hartzell. Oh, Hartzell breaks through the first line. He had to beat a safety who cut the speed out from under him. But a nice run there by Drew Hartzell, getting the ball out to the 44-yard line. That's a gain of 15, gives the Purple Panthers another first down.
And I tell you what, Braden Fowler came up and made a shoestring tackle. Otherwise, Hartzell would have had a whole bunch more.
That will do it for the first quarter as the horn sounds. And after 12 minutes of play here at the Sawyer Field, it is Hillsboro 35, Litchfield nothing. Want to remind you to get all the scores from Mid-Illinois football tomorrow morning, 7:30 on Spotlight on Sports on WSMI FM 106. At 9:03, WSMI Sports Saturday comes your way. Fighting Illini are at Penn State. That game starts at 10 o'clock on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. And then tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, the road to DeKalb, when we will have those people who made the playoffs and who they're playing, where they're going. Stay tuned to WSMI tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Was that Martavius? Nope. Who was the carrier there?
Went to A.J. Seifert, I believe, on that.
Seifert picks up a very, well, actually he picks up nothing. Ball still sitting at the 44. So that's going to bring up a second and 10 for the Purple Panthers. Just underway here in quarter number two. Dobrynek with one back in the backfield beside him. Two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right. Dobrynek takes the snap. Looks to get the pass out here on the in the flat to Martavius Jones, and he is immediately tackled there by Cameron Hackey. And going to be a loss on the play back to the 40-yard line. That's one of those plays, Dan, where you've got to get the ball out there, but you got to get it out there quickly.
You got to get out there quickly, and you got to make that first block. And Litchfield did not get either one. That ball was a little slow getting out to the receiver, and that just made that block a little bit longer and tougher to make. And Hackey, and all credit to Hackey, Hackey made a great play.
Three wide receivers to the near side. Going to be a pump fake, and now they'll go over the middle. Nice pass caught there by Carson Sadoff. That was down around his knees, but he was able to pick it up, get the ball across midfield down to the Hillsboro 48. Going to bring up a fourth down and still about two to go. Short yardage here for the Purple Panthers. Last time they were in this situation, it was the fourth and one near the goal line. They could not come up with the yardage there. What will they do here? They'll hand the ball off, and it looks like it's going to be a first down and more. As A.J. Seifert comes up with the first down, looks like he's going to be brought down there by Maddox Scott and a host of toppers. We got a flag over on the far side, I do believe.
Well, there was a couple of there was a player on both teams a little tangled up together. And I'm not sure
that's
if
where,
we got.
That's where I say we need the penalty box.
Yeah.
Sit down for 2 minutes.
There we go.
That's it.
There we go. Look at these guys we got on the sideline. Put them in the penalty box for 2 minutes.
No, I really don't like the fact that the penalty's offset. I just don't like that at all.
I think that's probably what we're looking at. We're going to have an offsetting penalty, it looks like.
Well, the referee is, I think there's going to be some unsportsmanlike because it looks like he's writing down some numbers. In soccer, we would say they got a yellow card.
He's got the yellow card.
Okay. And it is a personal foul on both offense and defense. It's a dead ball foul. But they said dead ball, so the offense should have gotten sufficient yardage down to the 43.
And they're now
for
moving the chains,
first down.
Right? Now A.J. Seifert's run.
So all the extracurricular took place after the play was over. They'll spot the ball at the 43, slap each player on the wrist, and that's about the only punishment they're going to get. First and 10, Purple Panthers from the Hillsboro 43. 9:50 to go till halftime, 35-0 in favor of the Toppers. Dobrynek back there with one back in the backfield. Going to take it and give it to that one back. Is that going to be Seifert again?
Looks like it, yeah, A.J. Seifert.
A.J. Seifert with the carry. This time it's going to be a short game. We're going to mark it down at the 42, so we'll give him a gain of one. Let's call it second and nine. Helton and Malloy hooked up for the tackle there for the Toppers. Second and nine from the 42. Clock running as we head down to the nine-minute mark of quarter number two. Dobrynek again with two wide receivers to the left, one over here to the near side. He fumbles the snap. Now he picks it up, unloads, tosses it, and it's just off target. The intended receiver, Martavius Jones, did all he could to get the ball. And now he and the defender together in tandem, they retrieve the ball and get it back here to the line of scrimmage.
That was a really good snap back. I think Dobrynek just took his eye off the ball a little early looking for his receiver.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for it.
Just mishandled it.
But he did a good job recovering.
He did. Picked it up and threw a nice ball out and gave Jones a chance to make the play. It would have been a great catch. It would have been a great catch. He'd have probably had to leave his feet and dive, but gave him a chance to make a play.
Trips over here to the right side as the Purple Panthers here in the second quarter, they're going from our left to our right or towards the south end zone. That screen pass, it has not been good. Hackey has been living off of that as he is enthusiastically asking the crowd, hey, get fired up. That was a good play, and indeed it was, as it's going to be called an incomplete pass, so it'll be a fourth and nine from the 42. But I tell you what, Hackey is so close to a pick six, it's not even funny.
He, at some point, he's going to get comfortable with that break and forget about the receiver and start concentrating on the ball, and he's going to turn that ball around real quick.
But if they run the two other receivers down and in and pump fake, Hackey will be in the backfield, and you'd have the whole sideline to throw to.
Yeah, they've got him bit on that on that play.
Over the middle it goes. Intended there for A.J. Seifert. It's incomplete.
Boy, really well-thrown ball by Tate Dobrynek. Went right through A.J. Seifert's hands. Boy, that's one I bet Seifert loved to have that one back because that was really well thrown by Dobrynek.
So from their own 42-yard line, the Toppers will take over on downs. They lead 35-0 at the 8:44 mark of quarter number two. Zane Duff gets the play from the sidelines. He heads to the huddle. Everybody's waiting. What's the play? Am I getting the ball this time? Well, tonight, it's anybody's guess of who's getting the ball. Whether you're a back or whether you're a lineman, everybody's getting in on the action. But one consistency is Zane Helton flagged down in the backfield. A late flag as Helton is finally brought down over here by Martavius Jones all the way down at the 20-yard line. But we'll see what this penalty is. It looks like everybody's walking back, so I'm thinking there's two flags down there now. Probably going to go against the Toppers.
Mr. Whitehead just pointed that direction.
It is a holding call. And I'm not really sure why there was a need for a hold there because Helton was through the line of scrimmage so quickly. I didn't think anybody had an opportunity to hold.
No, you almost wonder if it was even behind the play because you're right. Helton was through the line of scrimmage so quickly and into the backfield.
So that's going to make, they're going to actually take about a 6-yard penalty, so it must have occurred downfield. They'll spot the ball at the 36, so it'll be first and 16 for the Toppers. After they walk the penalty off, they start to clock up. We're heading to the 8-minute mark. Helton's going to get the ball and go around the right side. He's going to be pulled down there. Coming up on the tackle was Carson Sadoff. Just kind of sat on him and brought him down at about the 40-yard line.
Number 44, Lace Helton, the ball
He'll mark it at the 39. So we'll give him a gain of about 3. Call a second and 13. Well, I was very impressed with Blaze Helton early in the season, and I'm even more impressed with the way that his powerful running. Look at the Purple Panther defense. It's like a goal line defense. Everybody's right up there, and Helton gets slowed up, and it's a good thing. Then he's finally brought down, and it looks like on the tackle it's going to be A.J. Seifert. At the 44-yard line. So we gave him a gain of 5 and call it 3rd and about 8.
There was contact well before A.J. Seifert made the play, but all the contact on Helton really is up high, up around his shoulder pads, and he just runs the ball way too hard with that high tackle.
This time it's going to be Stewart getting the ball, and he'll go around left end, then he'll cut back to the middle, and he'll pick up a first down, getting the ball down into Purple Panther territory all the way down to the 42-yard line of Litchfield. First and 10, outstanding run there by Stewart. I like the way he cut back against the grain after he had gone around the left end.
Yeah, did a little skip, skipped over a fallen defender and cut back to the middle. And
they'll go to Helton once again. Helton's going to be held up and then brought down. First guy coming up there was Hunter Hancock, and he got some help from his friends. As coming up there, Corbin Schneck as well on the tackle. They'll spot the ball down at about the 40. Well, they're going to call it the 40-yard line, so we'll give a gain of 2, call it 2nd and 8. From the Litchfield 40-yard line. Clock continuing to run. We're inside 6 minutes here left in the first half. 35-0 is the Hillsboro lead. Zane Duff has the play. He'll bring it out. Liebscher is the back over on the other side. He'll be a lead blocker. They'll go to Helton once again, and Blaze just simply blazes a path right down the hash marks all the way to about the 27-yard line. A gain of 13 makes it a 1st and 10. So the ball's on the 27-yard line. The Toppers started on their own 36. This will be the 6th play of the drive. Stewart's over there on one wing back. They're going to give the ball off to Helton. Helton's going to be pulled down. Nice open field tackle there by Hunter Hancock. You know, when you watch this Hancock, the way he wraps him up and tackles, it's hard to believe that he's just a sophomore.
It really is. And Hunter Hancock is a kid that kind of came into sports a little bit later than a lot of the kids did. He kind of caught the bug in middle school, came out for wrestling his senior year, and qualified for state. We were getting ready to leave that morning, and everything got, that was about the 12th of March of 2019 when everything got shut down. But he has really caught the sports bug and hit the weight room hard, and it shows.
You're telling me that the wrestling experience helps him with football.
I got to throw that in.
One sport helps
another.
Hand in hand, you got that. Kaiser with a carry this time as he'll take the ball inside the 20 down to the 18. It's going to be very close to first down. We'll call it 3rd and 1 as they spot the ball between the 18 and 19-yard line. Clock continuing to run down to the 4-minute mark of the second quarter. 35-0 is the Hillsboro lead, and they're looking for more as they're inside the red zone one more time. Kaiser will be the lead blocker for Helton. Helton just simply stepped over the first tackler. Fortunately for the Purple Panthers, Martavius Jones got a hand on his foot, tripped him up, but not until he gets down to the 8-yard line, a gain of 10. Going to make it a 1st and goal for the Toppers from the Litchfield 8-yard line.
At 15 carries so far here with 3.5 minutes to go in the second quarter, that puts Elton at about 125 yards, so having a heck of a game.
Elliot Lentz comes into the ball game here. They're going to hand it off to the tailback, and that's big number 70, Magnus Wells, as he turns the corner. Ran about 50 yards, but only picked up maybe a yard or two. They're going to mark it down at about the 6-yard line. Let's call it the 5. We'll give him a gain of 3. Second and goal. How would you like to be playing that cornerback position and have Magnus Wells come at you?
Well, it wouldn't be fun.
And the thing of it is, you can tell by the way he carries the ball, he enjoys that.
At 6'3", 230 pounds. And, shoot, he's been blocking for guys his entire career going back into the JFL days. He's finally getting to have a little fun of his own.
It's my turn.
He and Ian Malloy both have got to carry the ball a little bit tonight.
Now, the Toppers coaching staff was not satisfied with the play call, so they'll call timeout. 2:33 to go till halftime. Hillsboro with a commanding 35-0 lead. It'll be second and goal from the 5 for the Toppers, who lead this one already 35-0. Helton sitting back there in the fullback position. They'll send a man in motion. They got 3 blockers over here on this side. They'll give the ball to Helton, and he's going to be denied as he is pulled down right as he got to the line of scrimmage. It looked like number 50.
Yeah, number 50. You have to go to the Owen Bauer.
And Schneck in on the tackle as well. They'll spot the ball at the 5 once again. It'll be a third and goal from the Litchfield 5. Well, the Toppers. First 3 scores were touchdown runs of 19, 21, and 29. Last 2, it's going to be Duff with the keeper. Duff's going to turn the corner, and he's going to be down. They're going to say at about the 2-yard line, and that's going to bring up a 4th and goal. Once again, Martavius Jones in on the tackle. And what will the Toppers do here? Elliot Lentz comes into the game.
Looks like, maybe not.
Caden Leapshire in the game as well.
I was thinking maybe an extra or a field goal here on 4th down because they brought in quite a few guys, but Duff returned with the play.
Okay, they'll go to the power eye, just driving forward. Into the end zone? No.
No, they're
short.
They're
going to say he was stopped.
They're short.
On the 1-yard line, and so the Purple Panther defense stops Magnus Wells. And so on downs, the Purple Panthers will take over. They'll do so on their own 1-yard line.
That middle line got Corbin Schneck in there, and Tanner Sadoff in there, Hunter Hancock. Owen Bauer did a nice job of shutting the door on the Hilltopper offense.
So now we have a timeout Litchfield with 57 seconds to go till halftime. 35-0 is the Topper lead. Purple Panthers have literally their backs up against the goal line as they'll try to get the ball out from the end zone. They'll give the ball off. I believe that is Hartzell. Or was that Seifert?
I believe it was Hartzell.
Hartzell's going to get the ball out. Are they going to mark the ball? I'm not even sure.
Got the ball out of the end zone.
At the 1-yard line. I thought he made a yard or two. But it's going to be a second and 10 from the 1-yard line.
Hillsborough took the timeout. Is that their second timeout? Second timeout. It's not on their scoreboard here in Hillsboro.
I can't remember if they took one earlier or not. I thought he made a few more yards than that. I thought he was out to about the 3-yard line, but they're going to mark that ball down at the 1 still.
It looks like he barely got back out to the line of scrimmage.
So the Toppers, their strategy is use the timeouts, keep him pinned down right here. See if we can get a safety or get the ball back. 49
right.
Seconds to go till halftime. This is where you fake that dive and then throw that wide receiver going down the sideline. Go for broke. Here we go. It is second and 10. Ball on the 1 yard line for the Litchfield Purple Panthers, trailing 35 to nothing. They'll take a long count. Now they'll hand off and get the ball out to about the 3 yard line. As the carrier that time was Drew Hartzell. Hartzell's going to get the ball out to about the 3. That's going to bring up a 3rd and about 8. As again, the Hilltoppers plotting some strategy, taking another time out there. Up 35 to nothing. Call 2 timeouts in a row. Of course, you know what they're thinking. They're thinking if we get the ball, we get the score, we got a running clock the whole second half.
Right, and that's what they're, I'm sure they're trying to get to that point before they go in. And Coach Reed and his staff's done a nice job of managing this clock and going to give them a shot.
Is it too early for the harvest moon to be rising?
Still looking pretty white.
It's almost like it's another light in the standard there.
It's big and full, and I tell you what, cafeteria duty yesterday at LMS was pretty interesting. Leading into a 3-day weekend with the full moon's never a fun day at a middle school. Anybody Amen. Doesn't believe that, it's never worked in a middle school.
Amen. Amen. So this will bring up a 3rd down following the timeout. 3rd and 8 from the 3 for the Purple Panthers. Dobrynik. Offside called on Hillsboro as they were too anxious and the hard count got them. So that'll take the ball out to the 8-yard line and make it 3rd and 3 from the 8. 44 seconds still showing on the clock as the band's moving around the backside of the track, getting ready for their halftime performance, the final one of the regular season. Now it's going to be a handoff to Hartzell. And, whoa, we got a late flag coming in here. We've had a little bit of extracurricular from time to time here in the first half. And the flags, they are flying, and that's usually what the call is going to be. It will be marked off against the Toppers. As we get signal coming over here our way, an official come over here to explain to the coach who the player was. And so with the penalty, that'll move the ball all the way out to the 24-yard line. It'll be a 1st and 10 for the Purple Panthers. 35 seconds showing on the second quarter clock. They trail 35 to nothing. Now they'll start the clock up. The Panthers looking over to the sideline for the play. The play clock still has 10 seconds on it. As they bring Powell over here to the wide side or to the right side. They've got the trips out there. They've got a man in motion. They've got a penalty flag down, and pass is tipped by Zane Duff with 5.5 seconds left. So it'll be a 2nd and 10. Well, we'll see what the penalty is.
It was post-snap. The ball was initially, I thought, perhaps the split in out here left just a little bit early.
Yeah, they got a little sloppy over here with the 3 wideouts together. Playing a little ring around the rosy kind of stuff. Procedure call takes the ball back to the 19. So it'll still be 1st down, but it'll be a 1st and 15 now. Now, Litchfield, all they have to do is take a knee here. You don't want to throw an interception with 5 seconds to go. But if he simply takes a knee, the first half will run out. I don't think that is in the plans right now. Third quarter action about to get underway here at Sawyer Field in Hillsboro. The Toppers with a 35 to nothing lead over the Litchfield Purple Panthers. They will be kicking off to Litchfield as we start the third quarter. Got the heat going here in the press box, so even with the windows open, it's very comfortable. But, Mr. Newkirk, you journeyed outside the premises, and tell us about a weather report.
Yeah, well, it's a little cooler for our Topper Panther fans watching the game tonight. Out in the breeze, there's a little bit of breeze blowing out there, and it's cool. I'm happy to have this heat blowing on my feet.
Definitely football weather. Topper's going to kick this one down the field. It'll come down on about the 25. It's going to be fielded there by Keenan Powell. Powell's off to the races. He's broken through. One man with a chance. They're not going to catch him. Look down the field. See no flags. Keenan Powell to the house. What a way to start the second half as Keenan Powell took that kickoff on about the 25-yard line. I'm going to give him credit for a 75-yard touchdown run off of the kickoff. Wow.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I was getting kind of nervous because he just wasn't running, and he wasn't running, and he wasn't running, and then all of a sudden, I think the defense, you know, it was stalled enough that the defense or the kickoff team got sucked in a little bit, and he found a little bit of a seam, and Keenan's quick enough. Once he catches a seam.
As he broke through, as you said, it looked like he had it in third gear, but all of a sudden he found overdrive, and that was it.
Yeah, I tell you what, come about the month of May, come out to the Litchfield track on a Thursday evening, you'll be able to see him running a 4x400 relay, looking about like that.
One of the best sights in track, the 4x4. Gabrini's going to run for the goal line. He's going to come up short on the extra point attempt, so that's going to make it 35-6 as the Purple Panthers with Keenan Powell doing the work. A kickoff return some 75 yards for the Purple Panthers score, 35-6, back with the Litchfield kickoff after these messages on WSMI. A good way to start the second half when everything in the first half went against you. Well, we should say in the first quarter, because Hillsborough did all of its scoring in the first quarter. It was a scoreless second quarter. Now here in the third quarter, Keenan Powell takes the opening kickoff some 75 yards for a touchdown. And the Purple Panthers still trail, yes, but you know you got to feel a whole lot better that goose egg's off the scoreboard.
Well, sure, you're fighting off that 40-point margin and the spinning clock and, you know, the cool night got a little warmer, that's for sure.
Well, plus it's always nice to have a guy like Keenan Powell back there receiving, because we have seen him time and again. He has that explosiveness that he can take off at any time. Now it's going to be a squib kick, and the Toppers are going to field it about the 41-yard line. They're going to get the ball up over midfield. Finally bring it down on about the 46-yard line. Who was that on the carry? Number 31.
Garrett Shockey.
Shockey.
Garrett Shockey.
Nice return.
5'11", 165-pound senior. It's nice getting a little action. And what, you know, again, we talked about the Toppers with a win tonight. It'll be kind of on that 4-5, you know, unusual bubble for the playoffs. But, you know, nice getting Garrett Shockey a play in perhaps last home game.
They'll start off the third quarter just like they used the first two quarters. And it will be Blaze Helton as he eludes the first couple tacklers. He's finally going to be brought down there. That was A.J. Seifert. You know, Seifert's in on the offense, but it seems like his name's being called a lot on the defense tonight, too.
Making a lot of plays. You know, and when you look at kids stepping up, and A.J. Seifert's one of the kids on this team as a sophomore, stepping up into a leadership role and really starting to make plays.
Ooh, back to Helton it goes. It looked like he was going to be stood up right at the line of scrimmage by Drew Hartzell. He spun off of that, and Hancock comes up with the tackle down at about the 31, so we'll call it second and six for the Toppers. I like the way he takes a direct hit, and Helton spins right off it. Now he's going to take the fake, and they're going to give it back on the other side to Joe Kaiser. Kaiser's going to get a first down as he's going to get the ball down inside the 25. I believe it's a first down as they marked it, and now the officials say, yes, it is a first down at the 25. And, of course, as you mentioned earlier, that's another thing. Blaze Helton is so effective. Even when he doesn't touch the ball, he gets two or three defenders who have their eyes on him. That opened up a hole that time for Joe Kaiser, who made a nice run down to the 25. From the Litchfield 25-yard line, first and 10 for the Toppers. Kaiser's going over here in motion. He'll give the ball off up the middle. Is that Helton again? I'm sure that was. It was Helton who gets the ball down to the 20-yard line. Hartzell comes up with the tackle after a gain of 5. Call a second and 5 from, well, they're going to call it about the 19. So we'll call it second and 4 from the 19. 9:35 to go here in the third quarter. Hillsboro put up 35 points in the first quarter. We played a scoreless second quarter, the only points of the third quarter. Keenan Powell, 75-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Back to Helton it goes, and Helton's just churning his way through the defense. He's finally going to be brought down by Martavius Jones, but not until he gets the ball down to the 14-yard line. Going to be a gain of 5, another first and 10 for the Toppers as they are methodically marching into the red zone.
Jonathan Schneck is another name that we called a few times here, Corbin Schneck. Corbin Schneck starting to make some plays in there in that defensive line and really growing some confidence. First year seeing a lot of varsity time, and his confidence is gaining.
The key word there is seeing. I think that's one thing. They're keeping their butt down and their head up, and they're seeing that back coming at them so they can make the contact, make the tackle. And as I say that, once again, there goes Helton, and there goes Hunter Hancock jumping on top of him down at about the 7-yard line. Pickup of 7, going to bring second and 3. So from the 7, Toppers knock, knock, knocking on the door, wanting to see if they can get back the 6 points they gave up here at the start of the third quarter. As coming into the game, is Bryce Connor. Kaiser at a tailback or at a wingback position. It'll go to the other wing, Blaine Sturt. Good misdirection, and once again, a good play fake to Helton left Blaine Sturt coming back around from that wingback position, and Blaine Sturt comes up with the touchdown.
That's the second score in the game for Blaine Sturt.
He opened things up way back when.
Very quietly has 4 carries, 55 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
This one will give him credit for a 7-yard touchdown. Last time it was a 19-yard touchdown. So Blaine Sturt with 2 touchdowns makes it 41-6. And now the Toppers are going to go for 2. Oop, they'll do a toss sweep, and as they do, there will be a penalty flag thrown. It'll be a procedure call against the Toppers.
That man coming in motion around the back, and he was the pitch man, but I think he was coming forward before the ball was snapped, creating the illegal motion.
Seven plays on that Topper drive for the touchdown. 54 yards covered. As we said, Blaine Sturt with the 7-yard touchdown run. Now the attempt for 2 back at the 9-yard line. Going to be a play action fake. Pass is incomplete. A little bit low. Number 40 was trying to come up with that one. Caden Liebscher couldn't quite make connections. So the pass is incomplete. But with the score, makes it 41-6 in favor of Hillsboro. Back with the Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Dan Newkirk, Gary Boker up here in the press box where it's toasty warm. Just looking over the statistics for the 3-5 Toppers, Dan. They scored a total of 49 points in their first five games. In their last three games, they have been over 40 and hit 50 in one of those three games plus tonight. So the offense has been located.
Yes, and you know, we talk off the air about it that, you know, the improvements that they made, they really didn't make any scheme changes or position changes. They just seem to be doing things a little more explosive and a little bit better, and it's showing on the field, and it's really showing on the scoreboard.
Okay, the Toppers will kick off, and it's going to be fielded on about the 25-yard line, run out to over the 30, but that's going to be it. No kickoff return for a touchdown this time. Keenan Powell is surrounded by Toppers, but nonetheless a nice return. Gets the ball out, as we said, over the 30-yard line. Looks like they're going to spot it at about the 33. These officials, they got to have good arms because you got to throw the ball from one sideline to the other. They switch. Each team gets to play offense with their favorite ball. Each team gets to kick their favorite ball. First and 10 for the Panthers. They'll put a man in motion and hand it off. That is Martavius Jones as he tries to turn a corner, and there's nothing happening there as he's brought down by Braden Fowler and Blaze Helton in on the tackle. They'll spot it right at the 33, and we'll call it second and 10, excuse me, from the 33.
Yeah, we keep talking about Blaze Helton on offense and how tough he is, but he's about a heat-seeking missile from that middle line get-backer position. He is just watching the ball and very mobile, quite hostile.
Maybe a little misdirection could get him out of the way because he has been in the way quite often. Now it's going to be a fake, and Dobrynik is going to keep it himself. He'll turn the corner and get the ball out over the 35 to about the 38. Let's give him a gain of five. Call a third and five. Third and five from the 38-yard line for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. 6.5 to go here in quarter number three. Carson Sathoff's going to come out here wide to the near side. Martavius Jones will be with him. Dobrynik by him, his lonesome in the backfield, as he's got three receivers. He's just going to throw it and launch it, and a little bit too short for the intended receiver, Martavius Jones. Just couldn't quite get back to it. The pros would have called that a back shoulder pass, but that was a little bit more than back shoulder.
Yeah, it kind of wobbled out there a little bit. And again, we got a young arm, still learning how to throw that deep ball.
Going to bring up a fourth and five from the 38. Incomplete pass stops the clock with 6:13 to go here in the third quarter. Dobrynik, a 6-foot, 160-pound sophomore. We haven't mentioned that, too. He also was a sophomore. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good sophomores here for the future. Ooh, stepping over. Going to be a false start, or is it going to be offsides? Whoever was the guilty partner for the Toppers, he's pointing at the Litchfield line and calling it against them. He's saying, I was drawn off. And they will call it a procedure call. And that will move it back to the 33. And make it fourth and 10. Sat off over the sideline, getting to play.
See, at fourth and five, it didn't look like the Panthers were in a position to punt. We'll see if fourth and 10 changes that perspective. And it
Oh, he's going to launch it over the middle. Pass is caught out there by Carson Sadoff out of the 45-yard line. He's going to be driven back by Helton, but they're going to spot the ball at the 46-yard line. And that'll be enough for a first and 10 for the Purple Panthers. From their own 46 to first and 10 for the Purple Panthers. Outstanding catch that time by Carson Sadoff. I'm going to try to go to the air again. Pass is thrown, and once again, just not able to make connections. Martavius Jones reached back but couldn't get a hand on it. Makes it second and 10 from their own 46. 5:32 to go here in the third quarter. 41-6, Hillsboro with the lead. Litchfield with the ball. Purple Panthers decided to go to the air here in the third quarter with some mixed success. Dobrynik back again with a pump fake. Now he's going to throw deep, and the receiver, made the connection, but the defender coming up quick, that was Braden Fowler from his safety position, jarred that ball loose from Sadoff, and Sadoff is hurting as he goes over to the sideline, takes his helmet off, and falls to the ground. That was one of those, almost a defenseless receiver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As he was attempting to catch the ball, and Fowler came in from the blind side and waylaid him.
Yeah, if that play happens at the college level, I think targeting probably would have been the call.
It's going to bring up a third and 10 from the 46. Whoa, whoops. Went to pass, and the ball slipped out of his hand. Now he says, where do I go with it? He'll go down at the 40-yard line for a loss on the play of six. Going to bring up a fourth and 16. As Malloy comes up with the tackle along with Jabin Compton, there was a situation where Dobrynik just simply had the ball slip out of his hand.
As he was bringing it up, luckily he kept the handle on it and hung on to it.
So now with 4:50 to go here in the third quarter, it will be fourth down and about 15, 16 yards to go. Dobrynik has twins over here to the short side of the field. He'll drop back. They'll go with a screen pass. It's going to be completed to A.J. Seifert, but he's going to be stopped well short of the first down yardage. So Hillsboro is going to take over on downs. They'll do so in Litchfield territory. It'll be first and 10 for the Toppers from the Litchfield 48-yard line. Once again, another short field for the Toppers.
That's a play I would like to see the Panthers run earlier on, a little bit shorter yardage on fourth down or third. Really ran that screen well.
Now, a quick pass out here in the flat to Bryce Connor. Connor is going to be driven out. Well, they're not going to say he went out of bounds. Coming up on the tackle was A.J. Seifert at the 40-yard line. We'll call it gain of 8, make it second and 2 for the Toppers from the Litchfield 40-yard line. Inside 4 minutes we go, quarter number 3. 41-6, Toppers with the lead, Toppers with the ball. Helton at the fullback position. Fake and a handoff to the second back. That's going to be Joe Kaiser. Kaiser is going to take the ball off the right side and get inside the 35 to about the 34. It was a second and 2, so that'll be enough for a first and 10 Toppers, taking the ball down to the Litchfield 34. They'll stop the clock while they move the chains. Then they'll start the clock back up. 3:33 showing on the third quarter clock. 41-6 on the scoreboard in favor of the home team, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, looking to pick up win number 4 on the season and perhaps be playoff eligible as we've been told. Now Litchfield flip-flopping their defense. That didn't work too well last time. But the quarterback drops the ball and has to fall on it as Zane Duff trying to make a handoff simply couldn't make connections there. But he does come back and get the ball at the 40-yard line. Loss of six is going to bring up second and 16. That's what you call being conservative, being certain with the ball. Don't try to pick it up and run with it. Just cover it up.
Yeah, guys, play a little quarterback back there. Mr. Duff, and watch a lot of film.
Bryce Connor into the ball game. Caden Liebscher out of the ball game for the Toppers. 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. They'll give it to the second back. And Kaiser with the carry. And on the tackle was Drew Hartzell at the 41. So going to be a loss actually on the play there. Brings up a third and 17. Hartzell with a good job of getting in there into the backfield, exploding in there before he was able to turn the corner and hit the hole. Third down, 17. Haven't seen the Toppers pass much tonight. Will we see one here? Every time they've done it, no, they're going to roll out and send a couple lead blockers ahead, and Duff is going to get all the way down to the 26-yard line. He's finally going to be brought down there by Caden Bergman at the 26-yard line, so going to be a gain of 15. That's going to bring up a fourth and two. I said the last time I saw Hillsboro, I liked the way Zane Duff ran with the ball. He's an excellent running quarterback and an extra threat in that backfield. He showed it there, dragging the defenders all the way down to the 26, fourth and two.
Remember all the way back to that first game of the season against Greenville, it was once Duff started keeping the ball that really kind of kept him in that game.
When you've got a fourth and two and you're the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, you give the ball off to Blaze Helton. Helton takes the ball down to the 18-yard line and needed two, picked up eight, first and 10 for the Toppers. They're in the red zone, knock, knock, knocking on the door once again.
First down, Hilltoppers.
From the 18-yard line, we're heading down to the final minute of the third quarter as Bryce Connor re-enters the lineup along with Zane Duff. They broke the huddle with 12 guys.
That's not a penalty. Rolled
out.
Apparently.
They give the pass off to Liebscher. Liebscher's going to go to the end zone for the touchdown. Caden Liebscher. The part, I guess, that bothered me most about that, Dan, was that the player coming off the field was right in front of the side official here. He almost ran into him. Couldn't help but see him.
What's interesting on that play is they see one guy holding on a play, but they don't notice him breaking the huddle with 12 guys.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to bring the ball back to the 24-yard line. It's still going to be first down. But it's going to be first and about 15. That's going to be the end of the third quarter. And so after three quarters of play here at Sawyer Field, it is Hillsboro 41, Litchfield 6, back with the fourth quarter. After these messages on WSMI. First quarter belonged to Hillsboro. Second quarter was scoreless. Third quarter saw each team score a touchdown. So you would have to say we've seen a little of everything in this ball game tonight, Dan.
Yeah, really. From long passes to, but not a lot of passing. A lot of really good short runs by both teams.
Speaking of passing, there's a receiver wide open, just slightly overthrown That was intended for Caden Liebscher. It falls incomplete. That'll be a second down. Second down at about 16 with the ball on the... We're going to mark it still on the 24. Yeah, on the 24. So from the Litchfield 24, it'll be a second and 16. And Dan, somebody fell asleep in the secondary because that's about the third time tonight that the Toppers have had a receiver wide open.
Yeah, he was, that was just overthrown.
Oh, to the second man, and he eludes the first tackler, but can't elude the second tackler, as coming up with the stop was Martavius Jones. And with the carry, coming up hobbling a little bit is Jabin Compton, the junior. Now we got flags flying all over the place. We've got the Litchfield coach. He is beside himself, and a third flag has been thrown. I think we are going to have an ejection here. I'm not sure. That's one thing I always thought on a football field. You had enough space that it wasn't like in basketball where you got right down the referee's throat. But whatever it was that upset Coach Carlson, he is still upset. And whatever it cost him, he's getting his money's worth out of it right now. Now, on the other side, we look at Jabin Compton. And following that play, he comes up hobbling. He is able to walk over to the sideline. But you could tell that he got an ankle twisted there. We had a personal foul, unsportsmanlike, on the Litchfield Purple Panthers. I'm not so sure we didn't have an ejection there. When all is said and done, the ball is going to be moved from the 24 where the play started all the way down to the Litchfield 5 where it will be first and goal for the Toppers.
First and goal from the 6.
And I see Coach Carlson is walking off the field. Now we have a Litchfield timeout as they're going to try to regroup their defense. As the assistant coach, do you know which one that is over there now?
I'm not sure. And I think just trying to get some clarification, obviously the Litchfield sideline was very distraught.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but whatever it was, it drew the ire of Coach Carlson. I mean, immediately. He was out to the hash marks. He had something that he had to get off his chest, and it cost him as he'll head over to the locker room and be done for the evening. But you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Well, you got to.
I'm not promoting it.
I'm not either, and no, absolutely not. But, you know, the term advocate is a term that's used a lot in coaching, and sometimes coaches feel that they have to advocate for their players and their team. And I'll tell you, knowing Coach Carlson, he's not a hothead by any stretch of the imagination or
like
excitable
you or
like you or I might be by nature. So I feel very
something.
Confident saying
yeah.
he felt very passionately about something that happened.
So now, after the dust settles, it will be a first and goal with the ball resting just outside the 5-yard line. Going to hand off on the counter, and that's going to be number 40. That will be Caden Liebscher. Well, he had the touchdown down here. The penalty took that one away, but this time Caden Liebscher takes it in for the score. We'll call it a 6-yard touchdown run. I had it 5.
Yeah.
5-yard touchdown run for Caden Liebscher. Makes it 47-6 with the point after attempt coming. That's our first score of the fourth quarter. It comes at the 11:30 mark. For Hillsboro, that was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 play drive that covered two quarters, started in the third quarter, finished in the fourth, and a total of 9 plays covering 52 yards on the drive. Liebscher with a 5-yard touchdown run. Point after attempt is up, and it's good. Magnus Wells with the point after. So get this now. Magnus Wells, who normally doesn't get a touch of the ball much, tonight he has a 2-point conversion on a run and a kick for the conversion, making it 48-6. I would say a pretty complete night for Magnus Wells, one that he will long remember.
Well, I think he's quite a complete player, so it's kind of interesting and good getting him to see, realize all these different talents that he can do. He's a
Go ahead.
Very gifted.
Go ahead,
athlete.
Say it. He's a stud.
He's a stud.
He's a stud.
He's a stud.
You need it done, you can give to him. He can carry the mail, whatever it takes. He can block the hole open. He can stop the hole on defense.
He is
a complete package.
If you just haven't seen enough of Magnus Wells this football season,
wait a minute.
Just find a Hillsboro Hilltopper wrestling match, and you'll find Magnus.
I was going to say, you say if you haven't seen enough, I know about 8 coaches in the South Central Conference who they've seen more than they want to see, and they're pleased that
he's
graduating. But as you said, another young man who utilizes football and wrestling to keep himself in shape throughout the year, and Magnus Wells is a good example of that.
You know, just taking this point, you got Magnus, seniors for the Hilltoppers, Maddox Scott, Magnus Wells, Carson Mantolino, who was injured and wouldn't get to play tonight, but Ian Malloy,
Joe Kaiser,
Dalton Reynolds, Joe Kaiser,
Blaine Stewart,
Bryce Connor, and just a lot of really, really talented seniors that are going to be really missed by this Hilltopper football team next season.
Yeah, there's 6 seniors on the starting offensive lineup and 5 juniors.
Yeah.
So 3 seniors on that starting offensive line, that's always difficult to replace.
Yes.
As a sophomore, you kind of break in. As a junior, you start learning the ropes. As a senior, you become a leader, and when you have a senior line that is dominant, usually you're going to have an excellent record.
Yeah, going to be some big shoes, so. Up front, in their wing back positions with Kaiser and Stewart, and defensively, it's going to be tough. They're going to have Wells and Duff back. That's a nice core coming back, but they're going to have some holes to fill.
Going to be a nice play fake. Whoa, pass was a little overthrown, intended down there. Didn't see that. Was that Cunningham? Yeah. That was Jake Cunningham, I believe. It falls incomplete. It'll bring up a 2nd and 10 from the 42. But now the difference now, Dan, is that that clock is going to continue to roll 48-6. It'll be a running clock the rest of the way.
Yes, I think with no threat of stopping the clock on an incomplete pass.
And as far as the Toppers are concerned, in their last 4 games, their offense has scored 56, 40, 41, and 48 here tonight. So the offense is finding its way. We just hope for the Topper fans that they will find a way into the playoffs with a 4-5 record. But if they don't, they're going to go back and look at that 3-0 loss to Paris on the field goal right at the end of the game back there in week 5. That really cost them the opportunity to go what could be 5-4 now. Oh, we got a penalty flag down.
It looked like it was maybe a little late, out of bounds perhaps on the tackle. It was thrown over
the
sideline.
There's no excuse for hitting the guy out of bounds because they've got these brilliant, deep, white lines around the sideline. It's not just a little 4-inch chalk line. Ooh, that's the worst thing to hear. Helmet-to-helmet contact. Takes the ball down to the Hillsboro 42-yard line. It'll be a 1st and 10 for the Purple Panthers. And, of course, as far as Litchfield is concerned, their offense has only been in double digits three times this year. They would like to pick up a touchdown right here to get in double digits tonight. Dubrinic with a play fake. He's got his receiver down there. No, a little overthrown. There's a situation for where the receiver, that time it was Keenan Powell, he turned around and looked, and he was trying to run north while looking south. And if you see that ball in the air and you can't get to it, you've got to turn the head around, hightail it, and run as fast as you can because you can't run that well turning your head to the back, turning your head back, as we know in track, if you try to look back to receive the baton.
Yeah, very tough. And when your hands go up, the speed goes down, and then the ball gets overthrown.
Okay, now from the 42, it's going to be a running play as they're going to give this one off to A.J. Seifert. I like what I've seen of this young man. He is a sophomore to build on. Going to pick up a couple of tough yards down to about the 40, so we're going to call it third and about eight. But as you look at this Litchfield lineup, a lot of young men coming back. Dubrinic, just a sophomore. Cunningham, a junior. Keenan Powell, a sophomore. Martavius Jones, a freshman. Carson Sadoff, a sophomore. Easton Grammer, a sophomore. A.J. Seifert, a sophomore. Hunter Hancock, a sophomore. Lewis Valentine, a sophomore. Owen Bauer, a junior. In other words, hope springs eternal, and you have to realize that with another year under the same coach, learning the program, progressing, good things are going to happen for the Litchfield Purple Panthers.
Well, there is a lot of excitement, as it's hard to say with the amount of losses that they're now accumulating consecutively. But there's this group. There's this core group of young guys who are gaining valuable experience.
Well, you and I have seen them as they came up through the JFL ranks. Mm-hmm. And this has always been a bright spot in the Litchfield football program. And everybody was saying, if we can get to that group, things are going to get a lot better.
And they talked about being young, and, man, they're young, and that's well, they're about to become juniors.
Throwing down the sideline, and Keenan Powell been watching too much of that Saturday and Sunday football, tried to make the one-hand grab. We saw a receiver from Pena do that earlier this year, but incomplete pass, going to bring up a change of possession as the Toppers will now take over. We're inside 6 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. It is 48-6. We have a running clock. Toppers with the ball on their own 45-yard line. I hate to tell you this, Coach, but you don't have enough guys out there yet. Bringing in some new guys here as well, I believe.
Well, it looks like right now they've pretty much got their full complement in, but you can
Reese
see
Morford.
You can see an assistant coach on the sideline lining up some guys, getting some guys ready to go. You know, I'm sure that they're, you know, a tradition in football is letting your seniors go out there, be on the field, and then allowing them to come off the field and have that applause. So you kind of sub in for them. It's a little bit different than other sports do it, but
now, the only thing that will stop the clock on a running clock game would be a score, an injury, or a timeout. Hillsboro takes a timeout here with 5:15 to go, and I think they're probably going to do what you just said. They're probably going to look to get some new kids in. We'll be back after these messages on WSMI. Well, we have some new kids on the block in the ball game right now. This time it's Dylan Lessman, as he's going to run that wing back reverse, and he's going to get the ball down into Litchfield territory, as he'll take it all the way down to the 43-yard line, and it'll be a first and 10 for the Toppers. Lessman, a sophomore, gets the ball to the Litchfield 43. We talked about Litchfield's youngsters. Hillsboro has some young kids of their own who are going to see some playing time right here. Alec Leatham, lineman in the ball game at this time. Going to put a man in motion. Going to be a toss sweep to Fowler. It's going to be a flag thrown in, a loose ball. It looks like Litchfield has recovered the ball, but that flag came flying in from way back downfield.
Well, I'm not sure it's a flag. I think it was a ball mark. They used the little sandbags.
I was going to say, he threw that thing from about 40 yards. That guy, he might be able to play for the Bears.
I
wouldn't want to give him that. He's probably too good. But in any event, it's going to be Litchfield ball after the fumble recovery. And they're going to have it on the Hillsboro 40-yard line. Did you see who made that recovery?
I did not. A couple of Panthers got up.
74.
That was Hunter Hancock.
That was Hancock. Very good. Thank you very much. In the press box, we all have to work together.
That's right.
Some have young eyes, some have old eyes, and some are blind like me.
Some just aren't paying attention.
Dobrynny, he's got the screen set up. The screen's developing. The receiver makes the catch down the sideline or down the middle of the field. He goes. A nice call there by the Purple Panthers, as that was A.J. Seifert. And Seifert gets the ball down to the 25-yard line. Give him a gain of 15 yards and a first and 10. I was sitting there on yardage for the Purple Panthers.
Well, 44 yards passing. They've got 40, around 50 yards rushing. It's been a rough night,
statistically speaking. So they're heading to 100 yards.
Yeah.
See if they can get that right here. Seifert in the backfield, the only back in the backfield. Keenan Powell, the receiver over here. Seifert is going to get the carry. He's going to take the ball down to about the 20-yard line, give him a pickup of 5 more, make it second and 5. Seifert's put together a decent running game.
Yeah, 25. He's got 25 yards and 8 carries. He's got 15 yards on 2 catches. So, yeah, 23 yards.
When yardage comes at a premium,
right.
He's been leading the way for the Purple Panthers. Dobrynny has some company. He has a back on each side to protect him. He has 2 wide receivers on the right. He's got 1 on the left. He'll give the ball off to Hartzell. Hartzell's going to go right up the middle, and Helton makes the tackle, and that may have been a touchdown-saving tackle as the ball goes all the way down to the 14-yard line. Needed 5, picked up 6. First and 10, Purple Panthers. They're in the red zone, knock, knock, knocking on the door. We have 100 seconds to go. They're going to have to knock, knock, knock quickly if they want to make a score here in the fourth quarter. Dobrynny comes over. Seifert looking on his wristband to get the play. Hartzell in a slot formation on the left side. 2 wide receivers right, 1 wide receiver left. Dobrynny going to go to the corner. Trying to make the catch and run at the same time was Keenan Powell. Took his eyes off the ball at the last second. And that'll be an incomplete pass, making it second and 10 from the Hillsboro 14. Clock continuing to run now with a running clock. It's not like it stops with an incomplete pass. And as we said earlier, Coach Carlson is no longer on the sideline. I'm not sure who is in charge over there. But in any event, they're going to call a timeout with 38 seconds to go. So timeout on the field, 38 seconds left in this one, 48-6. The Toppers with the lead, the Purple Panthers with the ball. And in this timeout, the coaches are coming together with the officials. Well, I had this threatened
no
one
idea.
Time. We were in a ball game, and it was a tie, and I was coaching against a guy from Winchester who was about 3 times my size. Our head coach hollers from the end zone, if it's a tie at the end of the fourth quarter, the two coaches will meet at midfield and battle it out. That never occurred.
Well, the only thing I can imagine is being discussed out there is if the players are getting a little chippy with each other, and the officials are just trying to get the coaches, hey, we got 38 seconds to go. Let's get this as calmly as possible. Everybody keep their heads.
Wind the clock. Let the clock run out, I believe they're saying. They said, don't even mess with the 25-second clock. Let it go. And with that, our final score will be 48-6. Dan, quickly, can you give us some stats on the game tonight?
For the visiting Panthers, Tate DeBrinnick completed. He was 5 for 21 passing with 44 yards. His leading receiver was A.J. Seifert with 23. Both Drew Hartzell and A.J. Seifert had 25 yards apiece. But for the hometown Hilltoppers, Blaze Helton with a heck of a game, 167 yards on 21 carries, found the end zone once. Blaine Stewart with 55 yards and his two touchdowns. Zane Duff completed just four passes, but for 141 yards and two touchdowns, and just was very, very efficient in their offense, and it statistically it showed.
Well, I think statistically you've got some numbers there, but one thing that we have to say, Blaze Helton with a tremendous night tonight, but he ran behind a very good offensive line.
Yes, he really did. You know, at left tackle, they got Ian Malloy, senior, 6'3", 255. Left guard, Magnus Wells, those two side-by-side, boy. Senior, 6'3", 230. Kyle Butler at center with great snaps every time, a 5'10", 200-pound junior. Reese Morford at right guard, 6', 205-pound junior. And then Maddox Scott, who made the move from his tight end position to right tackle out of an injury necessity, 6'4", 220-pounder. Who is not being hidden there whatsoever, does a great job of blocking at that right tackle position. Outstanding job of that O-line for the Toppers.
And, of course, we look at the first quarter. That's where all was said and done for all intents and purposes. Blaine Sturt with a 19-yard touchdown run. Joe Kaiser with a 21-yard touchdown run. Blaze Helton with a 29-yard touchdown run. Zane Duff hooks up with Bryce Connor for a 40-yard touchdown run. Then Zane Duff hooks up with Javen Compton for a 75-yard touchdown pass. So it was 35-0 at the end of the first quarter, and basically the game was over at that juncture. No scoring in the second quarter. In the third quarter, Keenan Powell lit up the Litchfield fans, taking the opening kickoff back 75 yards for a touchdown to make it 35-6. Hillsboro responded with a couple of touchdowns. Blaine Sturt in the third quarter with a 7-yard touchdown run, and then capping it off, Caden Leacher with a 5-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter. Final score, 48-6. Final comments.
Well, we had two different teams ending on kind of a high and a low note on the season. Panthers with an 0-9 season, and but a lot of young guys, a lot of promise. But again, like I said earlier, you know, they're now juniors. They're now juniors and seniors, and it's time to start stepping up, getting the weight room, and realizing, you know, some of that promise and taking advantage of that experience. So for the Toppers, we just cross our fingers overnight. We hope to heck that their four wins and their playoff points is enough to get them in and buy them one more game at least.
I thought under your breath I heard you say, and it wouldn't hurt to join the wrestling team in the offseason.
No.
Well, but in any event, as you said, the Litchfield Purple Panthers, they have a lot of work to do, but you got to like their resiliency. And I think with this young group coming along, better things are ahead for them and for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. If they make the playoffs, that will be great at 4-5. But if they don't, after losing their first five games of the season, coming back and winning their final four, that's a good stepping-off point for next year. This is Gary Boker saying one final time, we want to thank all of the Hillsboro people for their hospitality here tonight. Of course, thanks to all of our sponsors. Without them, we would not be able to bring you these high school sports. Thank you to you fans for listening in. Back at the station, we thank David Jenkins for producing tonight's game. For Dan Newkirk, I'm Gary Boker. One final time, our final score is Hillsboro 48, Litchfield 6. So long from the gridiron.